Amen. Let's turn as we open in this lesson today to John 3:16. And we like to read this together till God tells us to do otherwise. I'm going to read 16, 17, and 18 together. You get there, say amen. Well, let's join together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And let's turn over to James this morning. James chapter 3. And let's look at verse 1 through 6. Get your finger there, and then we're going to go to Proverbs 18 also. James chapter 3, and the King James, it says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Verse 2, "For in many things we offend all. If any man," that includes all of us, "if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." Now that word perfect does not mean flawless. It doesn't mean you're never going to make a mistake. It just means that you're growing up. You're reaching a place of maturity. That means you're missing it less and less. With what? Your mouth. That's what it's saying. That a perfect man is someone who doesn't offend or miss it with his words. It says, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." The New International Version in verse 2, it says, "If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check." The Good News Translation says, "But if a person never makes a mistake in what he says, so it's possible." It says, "He is perfect and able also to control his whole being." The New Living Translation says, "We all make many mistakes, but those who control their tongues can also control themselves in every other way." So, is it possible to direct and control our lives with our tongues? Yes, it is. And that means that we can steer, just as this scripture here is sharing. You can direct a horse with the bit in the mouth. You can direct a ship as large as it is. You can direct it with a rudder. And we can control and direct the course of our life with our tongue. So that means that if we're constantly talking about we can't, we don't, we'll never, this is our hard season, I get sick during this season, you know, or my mother had this, my father had this, it's in our family, then you are releasing words. You are a God made in God's image and likeness. You are a king under a king who lives now in the kingdom of God. You've been translated out of darkness into his kingdom. And you are now part of another kingdom, and you are directed and live under different rules. What rules? The rules of the king. And those rules will work if we work them. So if we decide we're going to talk negative and death, then that's what we're going to have. And, you know, that may seem, you know, hard. You know, I know when I first came into Christ, when I say when I got born again, I remember when I was at a church, when I first got born again, it was at an Assembly of God church in Wyckoff, New Jersey, which was local to here. And I remember at that time, the pastor, Pastor John Lipscomb, he used to put out copies of the Word of Faith magazine, which was Kenneth Hagin Ministry magazine. And he didn't put out the originals, he just made copies and put them out. And I remember, like yesterday, there was an article that was entitled Words. And words always, I won't say intrigued me, but I gravitated towards that. It interested me, would be another way of saying that. Because all of us, when we grew up, we had words spoken to us that could have either affected us positively or negatively. And so when I saw this article on words, I was like, phew! I took it and devoured it. And I began to see in the Word of God as a young Christian how words could affect our destiny. Words could affect the direction in our life. And it was given support from the Word of God. And I began to correct at that point some of the things that had been spoken. You know, we sometimes minister at the direction of the Spirit of God to lift the burdens, God's anointing, to lift burdens and to break yokes in people's lives. But how many, that's at the direction of God, but how many know you can take this word and begin to get your deliverance right now, right this very second? You don't need to wait for somebody to speak a word from the Lord. You can begin to change your very environment, your very life right now, right this very second. How do you do it? You say, I am delivered. I am free. I have God's anointing and his gifts. He has blessed me. When do you say that? When you don't have it. Because faith calls those things that do what? Be not. As though they were. So I'm to call that I'm delivered when I'm in bondage. And that seems strange for folks, because a lot of folks will call in bondage asking, just pray for me. Just pray for me. Just say a little prayer. Lift the pressure. Now, I'm not saying that you don't pray, but I am saying that when you share with someone, begin to, it's all right to pray. It's all right to help. We're to communicate words that lift and to lay hands on the sick and break bondages. But along with that, Brother Hagin taught for years that if the bondage is lifted and you're not taught properly, that which got you into the problem can get you right back into it again with what? This. With your mouth. And we need to learn that after we've been delivered, we need to keep saying, I have been delivered. I am free It is no longer Christ. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. How can I be in bondage if His presence lives in me? His presence in me drives out sickness and disease. His presence in me puts the devil on the run. He can't stay in my presence. He has to go. He must leave. And that is the things that gets us over. It gets me over. You know, we face the same challenges that you do. We face the same obstacles you do, and we have to fight them the same way you do. And we have to come against them with our words. We have to renew our minds with the Word of God. So we can direct our lives. That's the point. Let's turn over to Proverbs 18. Did you get there yet? Proverbs 18. We know this particular scripture. And verse 20 and 21, it says, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and the increase of his lips shall he be filled." The increase of what? His lips shall he be filled or satisfied. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." It means if you like death-filled words, you'll eat the fruit thereof. If you like life-filled words, you'll eat the fruit of that. So whatever you enjoy, you're going to eat the fruit thereof. This is the Good News Translation. It says, "What you say can preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequences of your words." We have to accept the consequences of our words. And some, you know, I know that some have expressed that we don't understand what obstacles they're facing. We don't understand how hard it is. We don't understand that society is against me. We don't understand that I'm living in an area that is just, it's hard. Okay? So it is to you. "Be it unto you according to your faith and to your words." You're going to have to accept the consequences of that. But I can tell you, people that aren't even Christians have come up out of settings worse than that and didn't have the teaching that we have and have come out of those situations. What did it take? In most cases, most of them just said, "I'm not staying here. I'm not living like this. I'm getting out." And that wasn't even a Christian motivation. That was, "They're tired. I'm out of here. I'm getting out. I'm going up. I'm getting something better." How many have come from other countries, from third world nations, that said, "I'm going to do better for my children. So we're coming over here and we're going to get something better for our children." And they got it for their children. And so we're not, the only thing that binds us and restricts us is your thinking and your words. And the same thing, whether it's personal in your life, whether it's ministry, whether it's business, whether you own a business, whether you work for a business, the thing that restricts you is your thinking. And we're told to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So that means that we can do all things, not in our own strength, not our own ability, but it's through Christ. Through Christ, the Word, we can do it. As long as we do what? As Pastor Greg been sharing, follow the equation. Seek Him. What does it say? Wait on the Lord. Wait on Him, and He will strengthen thine heart. Didn't it say that? That means when I get strengthened, then I know. I know what to do. I'm not wishy-washy. I am going to do this. Because why? My heart's strengthened. But it's going to take waiting on the Lord, which we've been hearing from the Lord. All right. Let's turn to Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9 this morning. How many I will folks do we have here? How many I shall folks do we have here? I will, I shall. Matthew 9. This is the account with the woman with the issue of blood. And starting in verse 20, it says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned about, when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour." Now you could see, he said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Now you could see, if she was going by her experience and what she saw, how could she say that? How could she say, "I shall be whole"? She's had over a decade of issues, spent all her money, had nothing left. And Mark says, when she heard of Jesus, in Mark 5, she said, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, touched his garment, for she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall. What was the key? She heard. She heard. She heard. She heard of Jesus. And some of the other translations I like, the Bible in Basic English, it says, when she had news of the things which Jesus did. It wasn't just that she heard about Jesus. She heard about the things that he did. And the Revised Standard Version said she had heard the reports about Jesus. What reports? Everyone that came to him was healed. All that came were healed. Not just the sick, but the diseased. The maimed. Look up maimed. That means folks that came with ears missing, legs missing. Everybody went away with a new part. I'll tell you, if you've been struggling for 10 years and heard some news and said, hey, there's a place right over there in Nanuet. You can go over there and get a new part. I'm telling you, I'd be like, in the wind. And the folks are saying, yeah, you just go in there. You're coming out with a new potty part. You're coming out delivered. No, you think, okay. Hide and watch. Because miracles and deliverances and the maimed will be healed here. What do I mean by maimed? People that didn't have an arm, people with a withered arm, are going to walk out with a brand new arm, a brand new leg. People without an eye are going to go out of here with an eye. And what is going to create that is worship. Worship of God. Worship of the Lord Jesus. And not being moved or swayed by what people think about how you worship or not worship. If you want to lay on the floor and worship God, lay on the floor and worship God. I got to tell you right now, I don't care if you just lay out here during all worship. It wouldn't bother me. If I had a person laying here, it wouldn't bother me. I want the heart of people to worship. And I can tell you, when we worship God, when we worship Him from our heart, His presence will not only reside here, it'll stay here. The Amplified in Matthew 9:21, it says, "For she kept saying to herself, 'If I only touch His garment, I shall be restored to health.'" She kept saying. She just kept saying, "Christ is my healer. I am healed. I am healed. I will be." And it takes that affirmation, takes a confidence and a conviction that's not swayed. Faith doesn't sway. Let's turn a moment. This is the scripture that comes to mind here. Romans 4. Look at the account of Abraham. Abraham 4 and verse 16. It says, "Therefore it is of faith..." Huh? What did I say? I said, go to Abraham. We don't have that book in my Bible, but I have Romans 4. Thank you for helping me this morning. Therefore, in Romans chapter 4, thank you. "Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he hath believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be.'" Look at verse 19. This is faith. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead." He considered, let's say here, you consider not your own body which is sick. You consider not that the part isn't working. You consider not that I can't move like I used to move because of something happened in my body. I consider it not. See, faith doesn't waver. Faith is convinced, I am healed. I am delivered. It will work. It shall work. Now, let me just say this. This is where I lived, me personally, and do live. But I also will say this, God will give us specific directions. And we cannot override His directions with Scripture. Now you may say, what? You can't override the author of the book with you pulling a little scripture out of there and confess in your scripture. If the author of this book says, go left, and you say, I'm going right, I'm going right, I'm going right, you're going in the wrong direction. So if God directs you to go get some medical assistance, I'm not saying don't confess the word, go get some medical assistance. Because the master has directed you to. And he knows you more than you do. He can see the end. You may not be able to see the end. He sees there's a road out ahead and you're about ready to go off it. And he's trying to protect you, help you. So we cannot override the master's directions with pulling a scripture out of the book. We meditate in the scriptures. We confess them. We murmur. We mutter them. But we wait on the Lord. And He shall strengthen. He shall guide me as to what to do and say. Sometimes we get it out of whack. We're going to confess something as soon as something happens in our life, and we don't wait on the Lord, we don't get strengthened in our heart, and we don't get direction. We just run off. That's immature and childish. I've been there. You run off charging. And when you fall a few times, you kind of come back and you say, what should I do? And the Lord will say, I've been waiting on you to ask. And so we need to ask. Let's go to, I'm back and let me finish the scripture verse. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So when our heart is strengthened, when we know, we don't stagger at His promise. We don't stagger at His direction. Some of the things that God has shared me has held me steady through 20 plus years. Things that He spoke to me as a young man has held me steady. I wasn't moved by people leaving, not leaving, because I knew I'm supposed to be here. I had a part in this ministry at God's direction. And so when we know where we're supposed to be, we're steady. We can say, I shall, I will, I can. And one of the things that holds me steady, and you know, you sometimes when you are strengthened in your heart, you can wait. You can rest. You can sit down and just wait. And everybody else is nervous, but you say, no, God's going to take care of it. It's all right. Don't worry about it. I remember when Pastor Clinton was going through a blue day, you know, they call it. And I remember I went home after that and I prayed the entire day. It was a Saturday. I just prayed in the Holy Ghost all day that day. And towards the end of the day, I just had an impression. Get down, lay on my next to my bed and just kind of kneel there and pray in the Holy Ghost some more. And I got quiet, real quiet, where your mind's not just quiet. And the Holy Ghost began to start speaking to me and said, I will send the singers and musicians, not because this is a great musical church, but this is a great spiritual church. And he's doing it. It doesn't matter whether people come or go. It doesn't matter whether people are sit down, leave, up, down, whoop, right, left, doesn't matter. God said, I will. If He will, then He shall. And I can wait. And not only is He will sending them, but He's going to send the best for us. And the best is going to come for what he needs to do. Not just for me. It has a purpose. God doesn't do things just to be doing. He has an end in mind. And he will send singers and musicians here that is going to, for some folks, it's going to be unprecedented, the anointing that is going to come. And folks are going to say, wow, but God had it in mind all the time. And I'm telling you what he said. And they're going to come. And because of what comes, it's going to create the glory of God in such manifestation through all of that, every facet. There's a part. It's the singing, the teaching, the gifts of the Spirit, all of that, and it's manifesting. And when he says, I will, I just say, he shall. And it shall come to pass. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 4, the 13. A familiar scripture. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. This is exactly what the woman with the issue of blood did. She believed, and she spoke. When you believe, you speak. And that's why a lot of times, if you listen to someone long enough, you can begin to hear their faith speaking, whether it's negative or positive. You listen to somebody long enough, just long enough, you can begin to hear what frustrates them. You begin to hear what excites them. You can begin to hear out of where? Their spirit. That which they believe, they're going to speak. And that which you believe is going to change things in your life. And we're to believe things, number one, because God said so in his word. We don't have to feel anything. We don't have to see something or feel it. If God said it, he said, I will, then I can hook up with that and say, he shall in my life. Because it's him speaking to me. It's his personal word to me. And so if he says he will in my life, then he shall. Turn over to Ephesians 5 for a minute. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 17. One of the things that helps us have confidence, one of the things that helps us be sure, is knowing what the will of God is. And Ephesians 5, 17 says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The Message Bible says, don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. See, we need to find out what he wants. The New Living says, don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. And when it talks about be not unwise, we could say that means foolish. There's another way of saying that. The Good News says, don't be fools then, but try to find out what the Lord wants you to do. So every area of our life, we should be finding out what his will is for us and improving, changing. We should be evaluating and inspecting our lives and saying, okay, I'm not doing good over here. What is the Lord's will for me here? How am I changing? What do I need to do to change that? And so every area of our life, we should be coming up a little bit. We should be improving. We should be gaining ground so that we're not sitting here for another 20 years wondering what the will of the Lord is in this area of my life. You know, there are people that go through life wondering whether or not they should have been married to this person. Wow. That's a lot of wasted time, isn't it now? Some folks are wondering whether or not it was God's will, whether it's God's will or not to heal them. Well, I can tell you, it is. You don't have to wonder. Open the book. Read it. So there's things that sometimes we stumble around in because we're not convinced. We're not sure. And when we're not convinced, we're not steady. Why? We're like a wave tossed to and fro. And it says, anyone that's tossed to and fro, how are they going to receive anything? They won't. So when you're vacillating, you're not sure. And I can tell you, the Word of God has been coming forth in clarity that we need to spend more time in His presence. We need to spend more time there. Well, I don't have time. Well, do you have time to bump along in life? And we all like to have clarity. But clarity is going to come, and I'll say it this way, it's going to come at a price. Success comes at a price. And being successful in life, being successful as a Christian, is going to come with some sacrifice. Sacrifice of your time, and it's going to be sacrificing worldly things that you think you need to do. Because at the end of the day, are those things that you spend time in, are they making you successful? Are they helping you to get to a better place? But I just got to watch the Super Bowl tonight. I've got to go. Okay, now let's see. Super Bowl or presence of the Lord? You know, there's no thought in my mind about what I'm going to do. And I'm not saying, please don't run out and say that we shouldn't watch television and all that. I'm not saying that. But when there's an opportunity to be in a place where you can grow and hear from God a word that will change your life and your direction. For everything you've been bumping around in, I'm going there. I'm going to position myself in a place where I can hear from Him. Because I want to be what He wants. I want His will for me in this earth. And that means a success. That means usable. That means anointed. Now, we all are anointed, but God will give special assignments to those who make time. Doesn't mean He doesn't love all of us. No, He loves us all. But those that take the time out to sit in His presence and just wait on Him, He will give special assignments for those. Because they're taking time to get direction. And how many understand this, that this Christian life is not all about me. Amen. It's not all about me. Me and me and me and me and my stuff and me and me. It's about the lost that Christ died for, that are hurting, and we are the ones who are anointed and blessed to lift the curse off of those that are bound. And so wherever we're going, and that's why it's important to spend time in God's presence so that He can lead and direct you as to how to be used to help people. How many have been in a spot where, we all have, how many have been in a spot where you were just, you're up against the wall, you don't know what to do? How many have been there? I have. And isn't it something when somebody just says a word and lifts that weight and you're like, thank you. Thank you. You could be the one that lifts the weight by just spending a few minutes with the Lord. Just spending a little extra time praying in the Holy Ghost so He can say, I want you to go over here today. And you go, why am I going over here? I don't know. Only for you to speak to somebody who's stuck. Stuck in life. That's the heart of God. And I want that with all of my heart and all that makes me tick. I want God's direction to be so clear, so audible, that I will drop everything and go. Because if we're not willing to do that, we're not ready yet. Because if the Master says go, there's no question. He already knows what you have to do. He already knows your responsibilities. He already knows that. And when He tells us to go, whatever He's telling us to do, we're the right one for it. We're anointed for that. Let's turn for a moment. Let's go over to 1 Samuel. Just real quick, 1 Samuel 17. And what I like about this story about David and Goliath is his confidence in his God. His confidence in God, and you can see from his very childhood. And here, when he comes to the camp where the Israelites are all shaken in their boots, and in verse 32 it says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. There was no hesitation. I will go and fight. Not maybe. I'll think about it. I will go. And Saul said to David, they are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept thy father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. See, he had some experience. He said, I killed the bear. I killed the lion and I smote them. So there was no doubt about his experience. He had the Spirit of the Lord upon him in those circumstances. God was his helper and his deliverer. And he said, thy servant, in verse 36, slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, he which has no covenant with God. I have a covenant with God. Shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And so he sends him out. And of course, Goliath is saying, am I a dog that thou come to me with staves or a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine started to woof some things. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. So he knew who his God was, and he was convinced. And he goes on and says what he's going to do. In verse 46, he said, this day the Lord delivered thee into my hand, and I will smite thee. I will. Not I might, I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. And he goes on, and he said, I will, I will, I will. And then in verse 48, he will. He will give you into our hands. Who? God. That's the confidence that we have. That's the confidence that God wants us to walk in. We're to walk by faith. Faith what? Faith in God. Faith in our God. Hallelujah. Turn over to Psalm 23. Now this is the same David. Look what he says. The Lord is my shepherd. I might not want. No, I shall not want. And in some translations says, I don't have need of a thing. Now when somebody has killed a bear, killed a lion, killed Goliath, he is my shepherd. And I don't have a need for a thing. I shall not want. And that's sometimes what we need to do. We need to kind of reflect sometimes on what has our shepherd done for us. And stop wavering and wondering and thinking maybe. No, he delivered me over here. He delivered me here. He delivered me here. He healed me here. And this is no different. You need to be absolutely convinced. God is my deliverer. He's for me. You cannot wonder. I'll tell you one thing, your enemy's not wondering. He's out to kill you, to destroy you with all that's within him. And the God I serve, he's for me. What does Psalm say? The Lord is on my side. He's on my side. I like Psalm 23 because it is a psalm of faith. You can go read down it, but just look through at the I shalls. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me. See, that's an I shall. He will. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. He's decreeing. He's going to lead me. Not, Lord, will you lead me? Will you help me? No, he's leading me. He's delivering me. He's for me. He's my helper. When you know you're not moaning, God, help me. No, he has helped me. And because he has, he is leading me. No wondering. What does that say? He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yeah. And folks are saying, my mind. No, he is restoring my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. For thou art with me. Lord, where are you? I don't feel you. Are you here? No, the Lord is with me. Well, I don't feel him. He's in you. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I need comfort. He is my comforter. Not maybe. He is my comforter. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely. Surely. Say surely. Surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Shall. He is my shepherd. And because of that, these things, I don't have a need. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Well, it doesn't look like it. Then it won't be for you. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will. Glory to God. Let's go to Psalm 91 for a moment. I like this scripture. While you're turning there, I'll read this to you. Go to Psalm 91. I'll read this. This is Psalm 57. I love this scripture. Psalm 57:7. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. Anybody ever work in construction? You have some people work in construction? When they pour concrete, it's fixed. It's fixed. It's set. My heart is set and fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Listen to this. You stay in Psalm 91. I'm just reading these. This is Psalm 57:1 in the Good News Translation. I have complete confidence, O God. Oh, that's being my heart fixed. I have complete confidence, O God. And because of that, I will sing and praise you. I have complete confidence in you, O God. New Century Version. My heart is steady, God. My heart is steady. I will sing and praise you. I'm steady. I'm heading towards this. I'm steady. I'm fixed. I'm not being pushed to the left or the right. Isn't that what James 3 said? That the ship, though big as it is, being pushed by the waves and the wind, the little rudder keeps it on course. I'm steady. I'm fixed. My heart and my words keeping me steady and fixed. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Where? under the shadow of the Almighty. I like this. This is the Good News translation in verse 1. It says, whoever goes to the Lord for safety, whoever remains under the protection of the Almighty, can say to him, you are my defender and protector. You are my God. In you I trust. But what's the key? We've got to go to him as our shepherd, our protector, our guide, which is really what it's saying. He that dwelleth in the secret place. Where is that? I'm going to him to abide in his presence. He's my shepherd. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress. In him will I, or I will, trust. Surely he shall. There's no wavering here. This is a heart that's confident and fixed. A person who knows their God, who's had experience, trusts their God. Not, God, will you help me? God, will you protect me? God, meet my need. No, he shall meet my need. He shall restore my body. He shall fill my bank account. He shall guide my children. He shall restore my marriage. He shall restore my body. He shall, I will, trust him. I'm telling you, the reason I'm so strong with this morning in my spirit is because we're coming into and are in a call it season. What are you calling? He will. I shall. He is. And we need to have that fixed in our heart when it doesn't look like it, when all is being tested. What did he do when he said to Abraham, go up and sacrifice your son? He said, I and the lad will go and worship and we will come back. And I believe, just hold steady a minute, okay. Pastor Sarah. Yeah, thank you. Just hold steady.
Just hold. Add something to the story of the lady.
I understand.
Okay.
Just hold steady, please. Thank you. Let me get my thought back here again. Just hold steady, because I had a thought and I'm going to get there in Jesus' name. Because I'll stand here and pray in the Holy Ghost till it comes back. In the name of Jesus. He'll bring it back. Let me just finish. In Jesus' name. All right. Verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Who is this? These are for the people that gone to God for their safety and their protection. And when I have, if he says to me, I will be your protector, then I can say, he is my protector. He is the one that defends me. He is the one that heals and protects my body. He is. He is. He said, I am not a man that lies. I change not. So if he says, when I come to him, God, I'm asking you to be my protector, my shield, my comforter. He says, I am. Then I need to take that to heart and say, he is. What does that mean? When I say he is, my words give him the right to be what he said he will be. When I say he is, that gives God the right and the access into my life to be what he said he will be for me. But when I say, I'm not sure, you restrict him. He has to stand there and look from the outside. He still loves you, but he cannot move on your behalf. Because you've said, I'm not sure, please help me, God. Help me. And he said, I'm here, just ask, believe me, and I shall. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall, not maybe, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Now, listen what his affirmation is. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver them. I will set him on high because he hath known thy name. He shall call upon me and I might answer. No, I will. I will answer you. Answer him. I will be with him in trouble. That means right in. Right in the midst of it. He's there. He's there. In the midst. When your flesh and your mind is at war and saying, how are we going to do this? This looks dangerous. He's in the midst. He's the protector. He's your guide. He will show you where to go and what to do. See, I'm convinced of this. When we hear things, and it's troubling. When we see things in the news, this Christian person, something happened, he got on a plane and was killed. Usually, 99% of the time, you hear later, they had a prompt. They shouldn't have gone. I was getting a prompt not to go there. Well, God was leading. He was protecting. Sometimes we don't listen. We don't listen. Sometimes, let's get it down into the natural realm. Sometimes, God is telling us to change our diets. And I'm not listening. And God keeps prompting us. Little nudge, soft little nudge. Don't eat that anymore. Don't change that. No, I'm eating that. I like that. I have a taste for this. But all the while, God has been nudging us, not for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, years. And then we find ourselves in a fix, and then we're asking God, God, what happened? He said, I've been nudging you for the last 10 years to stop that. And even in that, he's with us. Even in that, he's with us. Even in that, he's my healer. He's my deliverer. That's the God we serve. That even when we've been childish, even when we haven't listened, he's there. He's still our comforter. He's still our healer. He's still our deliverer. Now, it may not be the best, but he will guide you to get that fixed. Even that. Whether it's food or money or whatever it is, God is leading us. He is my shepherd. And if I look to him as my shepherd, I shall not want for anything. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now the Lord is going to bring back that to me, but anyways, glory to God in Jesus' name. If it's not now, he will bring it back. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 So we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But that strengthening is going to come by waiting. And we're going to wait on the Lord. When we're not convinced and we're not set or fixed, our heart isn't fixed, then we're not in faith. And you need to just be quiet till your heart is. Because what can come up and out of your mouth are not faith-filled words. Sometimes what happens is we're being motivated by fear and the circumstances, and we start talking in response to that. So sometimes what we need to do is just be quiet, wait on the Lord, let him strengthen your heart, so that when things come into your life, your heart is fixed. It's steady. And the things that God is beginning to unveil and reveal here, personally for some of us, and corporately, it's going to require a fixed heart. It's going to require a confident heart in their God. That God is going to do this because he said so. And he's not a man that he will lie. If he said he will do it, then he will do it. Amen.